We feel that there's an education gap among clients, institutional, individual investors alike, about some of the benefits of real estate. So what we wanted to build was a resource that people could use that allowed them to see both historically and in a forward-looking sense what the benefits of real estate, listed and private, would be in a portfolio. So this is our way of addressing that need in the advisor and investor community.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Jeff Palmer, Head of Multi-Asset Solutions at Cohen & Steers. Jeff is here to discuss a new interactive tool the firm has developed to help institutional investors and financial advisors enhance portfolios through strategic allocations to listed and private real estate. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So Jeff, before we talk more specifically about the Real Assets Compass that Cohen & Steers has recently launched, I wanted to just ask you about some of the traditional reasons why institutional investors and financial advisors may have shied away from including commercial real estate in portfolios.
So I guess I would start by saying that we believe that too few investors recognize the benefit of having real estate allocations in their portfolios. Despite the evidence that we have that historically real estate has positively contributed to both returns and diversification benefits in broad multi-asset portfolios, it's sort of been an under-owned asset class. We certainly see that the institutional client base has increased their allocations to real estate over the years. Data suggests that maybe institutions allocate as much as about 3.5 times more than individuals, but clearly individual investors have very much lagged in increasing their allocations to real estate. I think some of that's about education. People maybe just don't fully understand exactly what commercial real estate allocations are and what they do and what the benefits might be. And it may also be just about the availability of good investment products for people to invest in.
And what do you see as some of the key benefits of including commercial real estate in investor portfolios? And what sort of allocation balance do you favor normally?
Yeah, so we think that real estate should represent a strategic long-term allocation for most investors. I think that's kind of the way that you would expect to see the best long-term diversification benefits built in to portfolios. That comes in the form of better returns, more attractive downside protection, especially in maybe more inflationary environments, a little bit of protection in that world, and sort of just broadly speaking, a better risk-reward, risk-volatility trade-off in portfolios. We also think that there's a real value in real estate portfolios to holding both listed and private side by side. You know, really in many ways, these markets behave somewhat differently, especially at different stages of the cycle. And so to kind of use the colloquial phrase, one might zig while the other one zags, it certainly suggests to us that you get portfolio results over the long run if you have both. And I think maybe somewhat surprisingly to people, during economic downturns, recessions in particular, real estate can really, in that sense, adding listed markets at a downturn because they sort of lead the cycle out. And so we think that there's a role for reasonable sized allocations in portfolios along both stocks and bonds.
And the Real Assets Compass is a new resource for institutional investors and advisors to look more closely at the impacts of alternatives on traditional portfolios. Can you tell listeners about its development and the methodology behind it?
So we really built the Real Assets Compass with a mind towards education. As I just mentioned before, we feel that there's an education gap among clients, institutional, individual investors alike, about some of the benefits of real estate. So what we wanted to build was a resource that people could use that allowed them to see both historically and in a forward-looking sense what the benefits of real estate, listed and private, would be in a portfolio. So this is our way of addressing that need in the advisor and investor community. I guess maybe kind of separating two different pieces there. Historically, what we're able to do is we're able to look at what a portfolio with and without real estate would have looked like from both a return and a volatility perspective. We can see that over a 30-year horizon, that adding real estate to a portfolio would have consistently resulted in better outcomes, both in, as I said, both in terms of risk, volatility, and the combination of, in terms of like a Sharpe ratio, which looks at the ratio of return to volatility. I think importantly, because history is not everything, we're also able to look at this prospectively. So we use our own capital market assumptions to look at what we think a portfolio might return over the course of the next 10 years. To be sure, there's some element of our expectations for the macroeconomic environment that impact that outlook. But even there, where we expect returns across all asset classes to be lower in the next 10 years than in the previous 10, we still think that real estate adds benefits to a portfolio. So we can look at adding more or less amounts of real estate in this tool, and then we can also toggle the amount of listed versus private real estate. So what it really allows people to see is the sensitivity to adding more real estate to a portfolio, how much it affects return and how much it affects volatility. And we can also see what the impacts are, whether you add either listed or private real estate to the portfolio. So it's pretty powerful in that way. It allows people to actually just sort of get a little bit deeper with the numbers and some of the quantitative aspects of the application of real estate in a portfolio.
So Jeff, how do you envision the compass being used, and how can institutional investors and advisors adjust for different economic scenarios and investment objectives?
As I mentioned, this is a way to look at kind of very specifically what the impacts of adding real estate in a portfolio are. And I think what's nice about this is we can look at the last 30 years, which is not just sensitive to one small, like little bit of the economic cycle. This is obviously a multi-decade view. It encapsulates lots of different regimes, if you like, in terms of growth, inflation, policy in markets. And we can see what it does to a portfolio to add real estate, both returns and volatility. And I think we can also recognize here that prospectively, the next 10 years is likely to look a bit different, certainly very different than what we've seen over the course of the last 10 or 20 years, we think from an economic perspective. And so I think it allows people not necessarily to change the economic assumptions per se, but to look at if you have a more or less aggressive stance to your portfolio, you can see how it also might impact your holdings of real estate. So you can say, I'm a more risk-seeking investor, or I'm a more conservative investor, or I'm an investor who's more inclined to a growth objective versus an income objective. And so it does allow you to kind of tailor your investment principles and your investment style to see how real estate would impact the portfolio.
And you've touched on this a bit earlier, but do you see the compass helping to close the education gap that seems to exist in terms of the benefits of adding real estate to investment portfolios?
We do. And for sure here, I think one of the important elements is that this is a strategic view of the world. It allows us to step back and abstract from the very tactical concerns that we all become very focused on when looking at market prices on a day-to-day basis. And it focuses on the benefits of strategic allocations, not only to stocks and bonds, but also to real estate. And so we're able here to allow people to say, hey, if my expectations are for real estate to do a little bit better over the course of the next 10 years, or to have different viewpoints on whether I'd rather allocate towards listed or private markets, it allows people to see through a more quantitative lens the benefits of adding real estate. And I think that these are important things because real estate is an asset class that should do pretty well over long, extended periods of time. We can sort of get out of some of the very cyclical concerns about interest rates and recession risk and inflation regimes and sort of see what the aspects of portfolio diversification are over that long time period. And I think that those are the time frames that become more valuable to assess portfolio returns on, especially when thinking about strategic asset allocation.
Great. And Jeff, what's Cohen & Steers' current thinking in terms of the longer-term macro outlook and its impact on REITs and commercial real estate?
Yeah, so I mentioned a little of this already. We do think that the next 10 years is going to be certainly different than has been the case over the course of the last decade or so. But I would even say more generally, over the last couple of decades, it's been an environment where inflation has generally been off of investors' radar screens. Of course, we went through a period around the pandemic when we had big increases of inflation. But we think that the world is going to be one where there's more macroeconomic volatility. Inflation is a little stickier than it was before. And I don't mean hyperinflation sorts of rates. You know, I'm thinking kind of more in the 3% inflation range. But that's also higher than central bank targets of closer to 2%. So we think that also means slightly higher interest rates. And as I mentioned, more economic cyclical volatility. And so that's a world that's very different than the one that we've been used to. So the implication for real estate and commercial real estate more generally is maybe slightly counterintuitively, we actually expect real estate to do a little bit better relative to traditional stocks and bonds. Now, some of that is because in 2022, of course, we saw such sharp declines in REIT markets. In 2023, we saw private real estate markets correct a little bit more than listed markets. And so we think that this is a world where real estate looks a little cheaper relative to traditional stocks and bonds than has been the case. But it's also a world, like that I said, where volatility is a little bit higher, real assets perform a little bit better. And in that sense, real estate probably occupies an even more attractive place in strategic asset allocation for clients.
And you've touched on private and public real estate. Can you talk a little bit more about the anticipated performance of those two asset classes over the next decade? And do you think that's something that investors should be paying closer attention to?
I do. And I think that this is an issue that's become probably more clear over the course of the last, let's call it 12 to 18 months. Again, if we rewind through 2022, we saw that listed markets performed quite poorly during that time period. And it looked like private markets had really held up. And this is where we get back to that issue that I mentioned earlier about zigging and zagging. In that sense, I think listed markets were very much ahead and leading private markets. Over the course of 2023, we saw some ongoing declines in private market valuations. And I think that's brought listed and private a little bit closer together now over the course of the last year. But I guess I would say now we're probably closer, if not exactly yet, but closer to an equilibrium between listed and private markets. And it tends to be the case that over the long run, listed markets actually outperform private by a little bit. I think that's a little bit because of fees on the relative investments. And I think it's also because REITs have an ability to grow and acquire assets. And especially now at this stage of the cycle where we see that REITs are in a slightly better position to be able to acquire assets and start to grow, think that maybe listed markets slightly outperform private markets, but probably by less so than what I would have said at this time last year. Again, I think that we're at a stage where we're sort of coming out of a cyclical downturn for real estate generally. It provides pretty attractive entry points in our view for private investors who have not deployed capital in recent years. It's a much better entry point. And sort of across the board, given real estate has lagged general cap-weighted equity markets, we think it's a more attractive entry point.
Great. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for spending time on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.